For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 today. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. And we look forward to great things in 2023 if the Lord tarries His coming. This could be the day that, and could be the year that Jesus may come. And I hope you're ready to meet Him. We've seen some folks go on, and I think what Paul said to be with Christ is far better. Far better. I think of Norma Kiefer, who just went to heaven. Karen, good to see you here today. And then Norma's sister just a few days later, and they're in heaven together now. And the longer we live, heaven gets more personal and sweeter to us, doesn't it? And it may be that we won't have to go to heaven, or we may not have to die. It may be that we may not have to die. Now, some folks act like that, don't they? Some folks act like that. But it may be that we may not have to die. It may be that Jesus will come, take us all to heaven, and rapture us out. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. A lot of Baptists could stop right there. We wrestle not. But we don't stop right there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, verse 14, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. He didn't pray that I'd get out of jail as he writes this. He's in prison. He didn't say, pray for me that I'd get out of jail. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. My text this morning is verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Dear Lord, I thank you for the great singing today. Wonderful how it's touched and warmed our hearts. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs. And thank you for your word. And thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, dear God, for all of these pictures and precious memories, how they linger. And dear Lord, I pray that as we begin a new year and as we begin to make more memories, we thank you that God's people never say goodbye for the last time. We just change places from the terrestrial to the celestial. And we change bodies. Look forward to that. Dear God, while we're left here, help us make a difference. Help us to stand. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this chapter of the Bible. I love it. And tonight, in fact, when we think about a new year, we think of vision. The Bible says, where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And tonight I've asked Grant and Seth and myself, we're going to do a tag team. We're going to tag team preach. Just take 10 minutes apiece and just preach on vision. Just preach on vision. I didn't give him a verse. just gave him his topic. We'll preach on vision. And I hope you'll be here tonight and be a part of all of that. Having done all to stand, Paul said. I think Paul knew something about standing, probably more than we'll ever know. Paul knew what it meant to stand. Paul had come out of deep religion. He'd come out of the Sanhedrin. He'd come out of the Pharisees. He gives us his resume and what he had been a part of before. He said, I was out of the tribe of Benjamin, out of the stock of Israel. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. And he had just a great resume of religion. But he realized that that religion wasn't going to get him to heaven. And he met Jesus one day on the road to Damascus. And when he met Jesus, he said, all those things that meant something to me, all that was gained to me, he said, I counted them loss that I might win Christ. He said, I counted them but dung that I might gain Christ. And there on that road, when God knocked him down and blinded him to anything, blinded him to everything but Jesus, God changed his life. Now, God didn't do that with me, and he didn't do that with you, but we were all saved the same way Paul was saved. We were saved by grace through faith through the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We all believed in him and believed on him and believed through him to get to heaven. We may not have had what we call the Damascus Road experience, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade the day I got saved for anything. Amen. Unless it would be an earlier day, you know. And Paul said, with all of this behind me, and it wasn't behind him yet, he was in prison. Many Bible scholars believe he had two imprisonments. And people were able to come and go and visit him and things like that. And Paul did a lot of work there in Caesar's household, did a lot of work among the Romans and the servants. And I think he gave the gospel to some very important people. And I think many of them got saved. So he wasn't through with his race yet. But he said, one thing I've learned, though, he said, having done all, to stand. These are days, like Thomas Paine said many years ago, that try men's souls. These are days that try men's souls. And I think the church and God's people are, I think we're going to see some more trying days ahead. More than we've ever seen. What will we do in those days? How will we respond? I don't think we responded very well with the pandemic. You know, if people will fight over a roll of toilet paper at Walmart, what will they do when the real persecution comes? You know, and we kind of laugh about that, but help us. I mean, if a virus does that to the church, what it's done to the church, what will real persecution do? But the church here is likened to a soldier. And we know that we're in a battle. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You're on the battlefield for your Lord. And the church is likened to a soldier. In verses 1 through 9, we see there's some boot camp training. How many of you men and ladies have been to boot camp? You've been in the military, been to boot camp. My dad's told me about boot camp and all of that. We used to kid Brother Buddy Woodrum about boot camp and the Marine Corps and all of that. And all you guys had a lot of fun with that. But everybody remembers boot camp. The heat of boot camp. The hardness of boot camp. And anybody that's ever soldiered knows and can identify with what Paul said to Timothy when he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But here, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he speaks about boot camp training. In verses 1 through 4, he talks about the relationship between children and parents. And verses 5 through 9, he talks about the relationship of servants and masters. And then not only from boot camp, then he goes to the front lines. And that's what I've just read about. Why do you go to boot camp? You go to boot camp because you're training and you're learning to obey orders and you're learning how to march together. You're learning how to work in unity. You're learning about your weapon. You're learning about all of that. You're learning how to survive. You're learning how to wage war and all of that. And so you go to boot camp, and then you go to the front lines. You go to the front lines. That's where we are today. On January 8th, 2023, you and I are on the front lines. We're on the front lines. Now, we live in a kind of a conservative area, but even in this Bible Belt, Jackson County, West Virginia, listen, this area needs belted with the Bible. We need the Bible. We need Jesus. A lot of folks have a form of religion but deny the power thereof. It is a front line that we're at into for your children, for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, for the next generation. I mean, it is a battle that we're waging every day. Now, we're not shooting bullets and all of that, but it's even a harder battle than that. It's a spiritual battle. Our enemy, of course, is the devil. Now, I want you to notice the devil's cohorts in verse 12. He says, look, in verse 11, if you're going to stand, he said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And who are his cohorts? Look in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. In some ways, it would be easier if we could wrestle with flesh and blood. When you're in Bible school years ago, we did some things back then. God help us. God forgive us. We had people dressed up like the devil. I was one of them. They said I was one of the best devils they ever had. But one year during Bible school, I was the Bionic Baptist. And so I was the hero, not the zero. And so I was going to go, you know, a few rounds with the devil in a ring that we had set up. Oh, in front of the church. And Mount Pleasant had a big, high platform at that time. It was really high. And I came out as the Bionic Baptist. Of course, the kids cheered, and that just made me that much more excited about it. So me and the devil were going to go a few rounds. And so I was much younger then. And off the platform, I just almost dived. But I jumped off the platform and came down and just almost broke my ankle, you know. Well, I didn't want to ruin the skit. You know, so I wrestled around with the devil a while, and finally I won. But man, my ankle it was awful. And you say, how do you know whether you're in the spirit or in the flesh? If you can jump off the platform and not break your ankle, you were in the spirit. Yeah. Oh, help us. It'd be a lot easier, though, if we could fight the devil that way, but we don't fight him that way. We don't fight him that way. It's not flesh and blood. We're not in the ring with him, but we are in a spiritual warfare. There's much going on around us all the time. And the Bible lists four different groups of his demons and his demonic hosts that fell with him when Lucifer fell. It says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In some ways, it would be easier. I mean, the analogy is that of hand-to-hand personal combat. We think it would be easier, but I don't know that it would be. But here's the thing, each of us has our own battle to fight. We all have our own battle to fight. And it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles means to and we'll look at that in just a moment, but the scheming of the devil. And to stand here in verse 11 means to resist the enemy and hold a critical position in battle. Has overtones of military. To resist the enemy and hold a critical position in battle. Are we doing that in these days? I would submit to you that we're losing position in the world as far as influence. We're losing position. But may God help us to gain that back. May God help us to gain that back. And we see his cohorts here. First of all, he mentions principalities. And some believe that this is a reference to Satan's generals. Just as God has a hierarchy in his angel and in his angelic host, Satan has a hierarchy in the fallen angelic host. A reference to Satan's generals who have oversight of entire nations. We read in Daniel chapter 10 about angels that had an oversight of entire nations. And they're stirring things. I wonder where Satan's principalities would be moving today in the world. Secondly, notice this. There, he says powers. Some believe that this would refer to privates who possess human beings. Like in Mark chapter 5 when the maniac of Gadara was possessed of the devil. And others in the Bible who had demon possession. And some believe that these are the powers. And then he mentions the world rulers. He says against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That this would have a reference to demons in charge of Satan's worldly business. And then finally, he said spiritual wickedness in high places that would refer to demons in charge of religion and the religion of this world. And this world does have a religion. You say, what is the world's religion? Any religion that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it may have some truth in it. And it may have a lot of error. It may have a lot of truth and a little bit of error. But if it's wrong on Jesus, then it's the world's religion. Right. And so the church is likened to a soldier. We go to boot camp. Then we come out of boot camp. We go right into the front lines. And here's the thing. When we get saved, man, listen, we need more of the church. We need more of boot camp. We need more of Sunday school. We need more of school of the Bible. We need more of the bus ministry. We need more of prayer meeting. We need more of Bible reading and memorization. We need more of the boot camp. Why? Because when we get saved, we're immediately thrust into the front lines of the battle. Sometimes people fall. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. It just simply means that they're weak and Satan has come at them. And the flesh and the devil and the worldly practice and these principalities. But notice here, he mentions in verse 11, the wiles of the devil. Kenneth Weiss, Dr. Weiss says that the word wiles is the Greek word methodoia or methodia. And methodia in the Greek is a reference to cunning arts, A-R-T-S. It's a reference to deceit, to craftiness, to trickery. It means to frame or scheme a device for a settled plan. Let me give you an example. We've seen a lot of football lately, and by the way, I'm glad for DeMar Hamlin. I'm glad he's doing better. And I was watching that game last week when he went down, and you could tell it was something very serious. But one thing it's done, I think it's been a testimony to this world that prayer works. I mean, I saw Dan Orlovsky, a former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, and probably some other teams, who is a commentator on ESPN, who's very woke. ESPN's very woke, very liberal now. And Dan Orlovsky's talking about DeMar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills safety that had cardiac arrest on the field the other day. If you don't know about it, they did CPR and both teams were praying. They dismissed the game and canceled the game, and people didn't know what to do, and people were praying, and then it just caught fire. And all over the nation, all over the world, it says prayers for number three. And I thought, man, thank God. And Dan Orlovsky's on the news there and on NFL Today or one of those shows. And he just says, you know, he said, it's just on my heart. You know, we've been talking about prayer and thoughts for DeMar. He said, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And I thought, wow. And he does. I mean, here's a former quarterback, NFL player, you know, big old strapping guy, and the other commentators are on there, man. And man, he prayed a prayer like a Baptist would pray, maybe better. And I thought that won't seat too well back in the offices in Bristol, Connecticut. But as far as I know, he still has his job. But I'm just simply saying. That was a great testimony. He's rallied and he's talking now and he's, you know, I don't know if he ever played the game again, but God answers prayer. And I thought, well, some out of contention, some out of strife, some for whatever reason, Paul said, Christ is preached. People were praying. I'll take it. Anything upward, I mean, they may not have known what they're praying about and all of that, but I'll tell you what, for a time, there was a spiritual mindset in our nation. We need that. We sure need that. But I think of an NFL team or a college team or a high school team, they scheme a plan to defeat the other team. They scheme a plan. That's what they call it, a scheme. A defensive coordinator will watch the offense. He'll watch the film from the week before, and he'll see tendencies of the team that they're going to play. And that defensive coordinator will come up with a defense. He'll scheme a defense against that offense. And the same way with an offensive coordinator, he'll see a defense, and maybe they're playing a certain type of defense, and he'll scheme an offense that they might score against them. They set a scheme up. They set a plan up. They watch the film of the other team. Don't you think Satan does that with you? Satan does that with you. He knows what you did. I mean, what do you think all of these fallen angels are doing? They're watching. Satan can't read your mind, but he can see what you're doing. He can see what you're reading. He can see what you laugh at. He can see where you're going. He sees all of that. He'll set up an offensive scheme against you and lay wait for you, the wiles of the devil. He'll scheme a plan to help you to fall. That's why we need to stand, put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. The fiery darts of the wicked, not only the wiles of the devil, but he said in verse 16, the fiery darts. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That has the idea, a reference to arrows that are dipped in pitch and tar, and they're set on fire, then shot toward the enemy. You're going to need some pretty good armor if that's coming at you. Going to need some pretty good armor. So far, it looks like that the armor is all for the front. I mean, it's not that the church is on defense and getting overrun, but he's saying, look, don't go picking a fight with the devil. You just do what you know is right to do, having done all to stand. And be sure that Satan is going to come at you and come after you, and that's when we need the shield of faith. That's when we need the helmet of salvation. That's when we need our loins girt about with truth. By the way, it's all held together with truth. That's why we need on our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The wiles of the devil, and the fiery darts of the wicked. You're going to get shot at. I preached a message some time ago about what to do when they throw rocks at you, and they will. What are you going to do when they shoot at you? Listen, the tree that has the most fruit on it has the most rocks under it. The church that's doing something for God's going to have the most stones thrown at it. You can just bet on it. Satan's going to come after you. If you launch and try to do something for God in this year and you just say, look, I'm going to try to do something for God this year. I'm going to try to read my Bible through. The devil gets you busier than you've ever been. I'm going to try to witness that coworker. I'm going to try to win that teammate at the high school. I don't know who it might be. I don't know what it might be. You say, I've been praying about this matter of obeying God and tithing, and I'm going to start giving my tithe. But listen, you're going to have all kinds of trouble. Be sure Satan's going to shoot at you. But notice our equipment. He says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Put it all on. And I'm not going to go into all the detail in this because I'm going to take some weeks and either Sunday morning, Sunday night, and just take some of these separate armor pieces and develop that. But notice what he says here. He says, take unto you. It's one thing to put the armor on. It's one thing to dress like a soldier and go on display. But then he says this, take it up quickly. I mean, it's the idea of obeying a command. He says, take unto you. It's like, fellas, get your guns out. Get your gun. We're going to battle. Quick. The enemy's upon us. That's the idea here. He says, take it up. It's one thing to wear it all. And we Baptists, you know, we do pretty good. I mean, we look pretty good. We think, you know, I got my King James Bible under my arm. You know, I'm coming. I mean, you know, but I'll tell you what, we fight our battles, don't we? We think we've got it all together. But he says, look, take unto you the armor of God, that you might be able to stand and withstand in the evil day. When those days come, look at the equipment. Look at the equipment. Verse 13, he says, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. That'd be like a belt that would come around there, and the belt would hold it all together. The belt would hold the sword, and the belt would kind of hold your coat on, keep it all together so that you could be more active in battle. And the truth is, what we believe in, as we go to battle, it's all held together with truth. If it's not all bound up with truth, then we're in trouble. And we find truth in Jesus. We find truth through the Word of God. And he says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That guards the heart. That breastplate. That's what that is, I think. A breastplate. It would guard the heart. The writer of Proverbs said, guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The breastplate of righteousness, imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Soldiers that would stand different, like the Greeks and the Romans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, they all had different armor. Some wore lighter armor. Some depended more on spears. Some depended more on swords, short swords. Some had smaller shields and some had larger oblong shields. It depends on how they fought, their philosophy of fighting. If you've ever studied that time period, it's amazing how that 300 men could stand in a mountain pass. I think it was in Thermopylae. I think 300 Greeks held back thousands of Persians until they finally just overran them in a small mountain pass. And what they would do, they would just partner and put the shields together, and their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They would wrap their ankles with a thong of leather, and it would go down around through their instep, and on the sole of their sandal would be little spikes that they might be able to stand better in the time of battle. And when the enemy would come, they would push their spears through and push them, and they'd push and push. At times it was defensive, and at times it was offensive. It's an amazing study when you look at all of that. The Bible says this, we're to put all of that on. None of it's for running, all of it's for standing. And four times here he mentions, he says, stand, stand, withstand, stand in the evil day. He says, take unto you, in order to use, it's a command to be obeyed at once and once for all with snap and fervor. We see our enemy, we see our equipment, we see our exhortation. I'm not going to preach this whole message today, but I want you to look at the trio for success here. He says, stand. He says, pray. And he says, watch. Notice what he says here. It says in verse 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Look at this in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Paul said, praying, watching, standing. 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 We're to stand. Look in verse 11. He says, throw on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then look at verse 14. Stand therefore. I think we get the idea that God wants us to stand. He wants us to stand in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Stand as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stand as salt. Stand with stability. We need some moms and dads to stand. You say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. Just stand. The Bible says, having done all, to stand. Now I read that and I think, have I done all? Having done all. Have I done all? Sometimes people come to me for counseling. They say, preacher, we've done everything we know to do. And I say, well, tell me some things you've done. And come to find out they haven't done all they could have done. But Paul said, having done all. What's all? What's all mean? What's all? A lot of times, bless God, we want to stand. We don't have the armor on. We want to go fight this legislation. We should. When we do, better have the armor on. We'll stand against the wiles of the devil. How much time have we prayed? We're going to storm the battlements of hell. You better walk with God if you're going to do that. You better have a shield of faith in front of you. You better have the Word of God as a sword. I'll tell you, I'm going to preach. Need to keep preaching, but are you filled with the Spirit? His exhortation. He didn't tell them to attack, but to withstand and resist him. Having done all to stand. Have we done all? I think about the outer struggle. That's what we're thinking here today. You know, to bring it where we live today, we can cast our vote. A lot of times, I think conservatism and revival and religion, I think sometimes it gets all meshed together. Political conservatism and we better make sure that we understand we need to be politically conservative, but we need to stand and have the armor of God on. We need to have something on the inside. Hey, we can cast our vote. We can raise our voice. We ought to do both. I ought to raise our voice. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And we're in the midst of it right now. But not have the inner victory. Not have the inner victory. We'd better be as much as we want to do. And if we're not being a child of God and being filled with the Spirit of God, we're not going to do a whole lot as a child of God. For heaven's sake. We're to stand. Sometimes soldiering means, and we saw this, I think, during the Iraqi war, we saw that our soldiers were trained to wage war. They weren't trained to stand on a street corner and direct traffic and take care of a city. No, they were trained to wage war and to capture ground and hold that ground. When we began to do that, we began to see, during those surges, we began to see victory during that time. The church needs to gain some ground. We need to surge ahead, and then we need to hold that ground. Hold that ground. That's what the Bible means when it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It means stuck in place. Once you've gained ground, don't give that ground up. When you have victory in your Christian life, that's a victory for today. But there may be a besetting sin that you're battling this year. It may be a sin that no one else knows about. And I'm telling you, you win today. Tomorrow you've got another battle coming. It's coming. We all have battles to face. And so he says we're to pray. Matthew 17:21. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Jude 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul said, I will that men pray everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We're to watch. He says, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 4:7, he says, be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. 2 Timothy 4:5, watch thou in all things. Matthew 24:42, Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's his exhortation. He says, watch and pray and stand. As pilgrims, we walk. As witnesses, we talk. As contenders, we run. As fighters, we stand. We stand. Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, leading a 52-day revival of restoring the city walls and gates. Ezra came and God brought revival through his word as he always does. They tried to get him to come down off the wall. This is the devil's maybe most conniving wile, one of his wily ways. He tries to get us to come off the wall of building so that we could battle. Back in the 70s and 80s, Baptists got all enamored with fighting. Let's go to the courthouse. Let's go down. You know, let's march. Let's do all these. And we need some of that. But what do? We came off the wall and we quit building. We left soul winning aside. We let our bus routes fail. We let our Sunday school classes go into demise. We thought, man, I can do more. I know preachers that resigned their churches and went full time into politics. And that's between them and God. That's between them and God. But I'm telling you, we've got to have some people that will gain and surge ahead and put on the armor of God. And realize this is a spiritual battle. Let's keep, when we have to come off the wall, we'll do it. But then let's get back up on the wall. They built, they kept building. They had a trowel in one hand laying up block, and they had a sword in the other. When did they fight? They fought when they tried to keep them from building. That's when the sword needs to be drawn. When they say, preacher, Appreciate your food pantry. But boy, that message you preached last week, we need to talk about that. That's when we come off the wall and say, well, we need to have a meeting about this. No, we're not having a meeting. The world doesn't get a vote on what we preach. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying we need to be discerning about where the greatest battles are. Listen, battles are coming. Battles are coming. When I was growing up, we fought all the time. Give me a good excuse. Let's just fight. And we'd fight and carry on. Then we'd make up. And then we'd fight with somebody else. And then we got older, people started outgrowing me, and fighting wasn't as much fun as it used to be. I started getting whipped more. Then I learned the wonderful art of negotiation. I thought, it's a whole lot easier to get along. But here's the thing. A lot of people, let's fight. The battles will come. The battles will come. Satan will shoot his fiery darts at you. There'll be plenty of battles this year. You just be ready when they come. Christians ought not walk around with a chip on our shoulder. We're to be winning people to Christ and getting people baptized and making a difference and loving sinners and showing them that Christ is the way and all of that and keep our eye on the goal, the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. When the battles come, and they will, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, our loins girt about with truth, be ready, and fight spiritual battles in a spiritual way, in a Bible way. We'll talk a lot about this year. We're to pray, We're to watch. We're to stand. We're to stand. We see our equipment. We see our enemies. We see our exhortation to stand. We see our examples. Paul mentions himself and he mentions Tychicus, a faithful servant. Our great example is Christ. Is Christ. Having done all to stand. A lot of times in battle, as we gain ground, you know what armies do? They gain that ground. They dig in. They resupply. They hold that ground. They're watchful. They're prayerful. They're vigilant. And that's what we're to do. A lot of times it's not fighting. It's holding the ground. It's hunkering down. It's being steady and steadfast and calm when the bullets are flying, spiritual bullets. When the fiery darts are coming. Just, I ain't moving. I'm standing. I'm staying. Paul said to Titus, he says, Titus, stay in Crete. Moses saw the army of Pharaoh bearing down on him. What would you do? I'd run. I'd find me a boat, get across the Red Sea. And God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's let God win some battles for us this year. And let's shore up our defenses. Let's withstand. This is the evil day that the Bible talks about. No doubt about it. This may be the day, this may be the year, this may be the day, this may be the hour that Christ would come. I don't know. But let's be in our place, standing as God would have us to do.